Okay, we're going to do our worship at the end of our study for a specific reason. But here on Saturday evenings at Fort Hill, we've been studying through the book of Acts and the importance of the church. The church being the universal church, the body of believers, you and I, we make up the church that Jesus said that he would build. And he said when he did, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And if you guys remember our first start before we even got into Acts, we had a 12-week series on the Holy Spirit and how important he is in the life of Jesus' disciples. Because we know without the Holy Spirit working in and through God's people, the church doesn't exist. We need the Holy Spirit to move us. We must be dependent on the Holy Spirit, as we studied some months ago. But for eons, most of you have heard me preach that we need to stop going to church and start being the church. And ironically, it's no coincidence that where we find ourselves presently in our country, with all the turmoil, the strife, the fear, the uncertainty, and there's chaos everywhere. What will happen in the coming days, in the coming weeks, in the coming months, we have no idea. But the only thing that we know for sure, we are certain because the Word tells us, and the only thing that Jesus' disciples know for certain, is that our lives matter to him, right? We matter to him, every single one of us. And he said he would never forsake us. And only he can say that and hold true to it. He promised that he would come again to receive us to himself, and that we have that assurance through his word. That's where we're constantly seeing it. And we have learned that this place, this earth, is not our home. There are so many people who are moving right now. And they act as if, oh, I'm moving to my new home. This is not your home. This is not our home. As great as it is here, I told a friend the other day, this is the next stop to heaven here in Oregon. It's Oregon, then heaven. But we just are sojourners here, and we have to remember that. We have a tendency to hang on to things, hang on to property, hang on to location, hang on to whatever. But we are just, this stuff's all on loan to us. We're just passing through, right? Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Okay, good. I got some followers here that believe the same thing.
There's actually a nice little song that goes with that.
You want to sing it?
Yeah. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. The heavens are laid out somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
All right.
That's pretty good, Ruthie.
So from now on in worship, everybody be quiet. Let Ruthie sing. She got a great voice. Great voice. I love that. Very good.
Awesome.
She says she carries a tune, hers and Lee's.
I'm not that good.
Wow, Lee. Sorry, Lee. But we're just passing through. And because we're passing through, we know that all of our hope is to be put in him. Amen?
Amen.
Not in those who rule over us. Our hope is in him. And in our story, the Apostle Paul, up to this point, he has spent about 20 years, we're in Acts 20, he spent about 20 years now preaching the gospel to the Eastern world, the gospel of Jesus. He developed not only disciples, but leaders, elders who would shepherd the churches as they sprung up wherever he was going. So important to have good men who can do that as the Lord raises them up. But he was concerned for their spiritual lives. And upon his departure from the region, he was very worried that they might be taken over by some false teachers. Now, for our guest tonight, we've already covered this portion of Scripture the past couple of weeks, but I want to revisit it one more time because of this message. This message is titled Special Message. It's special because of the people who are special in our lives, who for I don't know what reason, but they're leaving us, but they're special, and this message is for them. And this message is fitting for this devotional, and my prayer is that I can articulate it in such a way that it will stay in our hearts until Jesus comes for all of us. Isn't that a wonderful thought, though? He's going to come for us.
Coming.
Right? He's going to come for us. Oh, how I pray this before I get done. Oh, he would help us out so much, right?
I need it before the election.
The apostle, yeah, really. The apostle Paul has gathered all the elders together of the church for a final word. And if you will follow along with me, beginning in verse 18, we're going to skip through some of them. But beginning in verse 18, it says, "And when they had come to him," meaning Paul, "he said to them, 'You know from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. And how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly from house to house.'" We'll stop there a second. "For the Stropes and the Aldridges, my prayer is that I have done that for you, and that your fellowship with us has been that way, that I've not held anything back that was good for you, and for the rest of us, for that matter. And I've shared the good and I've shared the bad, and I've not held anything back. And there may have been times when it was repetitive, but it was always with an exclamation of the good that God has for us in his word." Paul says in verse 21, "Testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, or and see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. No matter what, always we need to be mindful of where we need to repent before the Lord." He says that the Holy Spirit was there, being able to tell him. He preached repentance to the Greeks and to the Jews. But always in our lives, always remember, we always need to be mindful. Lord, is there some repentance that you're drawing me to? Is there something that you want me to pay attention to? Never thinking that we always have things right, because that's a dangerous place to be. That's the opposite of humility. That's pride. Lord, is there something that you're wanting me to do? And Paul is telling them, you know, I've shared constantly about what we're to do. And the same Holy Spirit here that warns Paul also warns us too. We're not any different from him. He's warning Paul that you're going to go and the chains and tribulations are going to await you. And is there something that the Lord is speaking to us about? And you guys hear me say it all the time. The Holy Spirit is always wanting to speak to us. The question is, are we in a place where we're hearing what the Spirit is saying? And for Paul, it was the chains and tribulations that awaited him. But what is it for you and I right now? The Lord, he's constantly wanting to speak to us, to our hearts, to our lives. He's trying to get our attention. And I often say, as I did earlier, that the Spirit of God is always speaking to us. He's always trying to get our attention. And are we actually hearing what he's saying? And you know, for us, I know times are going to get pretty rough for us. We're already seeing it, right? Christians are holding no big plus in the world, okay? Look at the ones in China. I mean, those poor folks, they're getting it handed to them. Even here, I mean, I can't believe it. I mean, you know, they're going to take a statue down of Jesus? I mean, like, does it end? But we know that times are going to get rough, but that same Holy Spirit that is warning Paul, that is directing and guiding Paul, also encourages us. He exhorts us. And it's going to be tough, but it was for Paul. But notice what he says about it in verse 24. He's speaking of all the beatings, the name-callings that he went through, the stonings, you name it. He says, none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy. And the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. I love that he says, I'm going to finish my race with joy. You notice he doesn't say, I'm laboring, it's tough, I'm going to finish it no matter what. He says, I'm going to finish it with joy. The world today has no idea what joy is, right? Their circumstances are what control their emotions and whatever happiness they can find. Paul says, I'm going to finish my race with joy. And you might be wondering, how does one get to a point where he's able to say, but none of these things move me? It's by his unwavering love and surrender to his will, to God's will of his life. He surrendered it on the Damascus Road. A person who can say, none of these things move me, their life is not their own, and it belongs to the Lord. And they're totally surrendered and sold out to him. And I actually wrote out the word sold, S-O-U-L-E-D. They're sold out to him. Their soul, they've given it to him. It belongs to him. It doesn't belong to us. Sometimes we'll try to hang on to that, but it belongs to him. And the reason that they're not moved by trials in life is because of the words that Paul said, nor do I count my life dear to myself. He's saying my life is not my own. And you all know, since his conversion to Jesus, his life was no longer his. The Lord had a plan for his life. He even told him what he was going to do. And now here Paul's faced with that. I'm going to the chains. I'm not afraid of the chains. He wasn't a superhuman. He didn't say, well, you know, I'm like Samson, those chains don't mean nothing to me. I'm sure he thought they're going to hurt. But I'm sure Jesus felt the same way too when he looked into the cup of suffering, didn't he? He even said, Father, if there's any other way, but not my will, but your will be done. And so if a person's life is sold out to them, he can say, none of these things move me. And so how do I know if I'm sold out to him? Are my decisions first ran by his counsel? And are they based on his will for my life? Or am I the one who's sailing the ship? Do I get to call the shots? See, one of the things that was so unique in having Lauren here with us, Linda's granddaughter, is that she was very inquisitive, asking questions. You know, what about this? And what about that? Yeah, about the Word of God. And I was like, ooh, I gotta be right on the money here, right? And it's just really neat because she would say, well, how do we know what God's will is? And so we would talk about it. But am I willing to let him be the one who calls the shots in my life? And it goes without saying, a total dependence on him brings us to a place of peace and assurance when those troubling times come. And they're going to come. They're going to come. So we needn't fear them. God's equipped us through his Holy Spirit to be able to handle those fears. I love the lyrics by Casting Crowns. I loved when Jennifer and Justin and I, we would sing this song, Just Be Held. And I always love this verse of that song. So when you're on your knees and the answer seems so far away, you're not alone. Stop holding on and just be held. We spend time holding on to things that are not good for us. He's saying, stop holding on and just be held. Your world's not falling apart, it's falling into place. I'm on the throne, stop holding on and just be held. I love it. Let it go. Be held. Don't hold on. See? How many of you know we'll hang on to things that we think are good? Yeah. When in all actuality, the Lord's going, I've got to get this from you. This is hurting you. Right? No, it's mine. We're like the little kid, right? It's like, nothing worse than seeing a 65-year-old man crying for what is his. It's mine. But too often we can hold on to things that God says, just let go of it. Now, that's a little bit different than the adage of just let go and let God. It's like, no, just get your paws off of it and let him have it. Get your paws off your life and let him put his paws on it and watch what happens. And, you know, we can learn from Paul here to have total trust in Jesus for our lives. In our verses, Paul has literally been there for these folks through blood, sweat, and tears. And he tells them in verse 25, and indeed now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Let's stop there for a minute and meditate on those words. But I want us to meditate on these ones. And indeed, now I know that you all will see my face no more. Now, I purposely left out the other part, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God. He's telling them that I'm not going to see it anymore. And I have to say that even though we don't see it here, you know that Paul had to be feeling the heartache of now having to say goodbye to them. We often don't show that, do we? I think sometimes it is harder for me to deal with being left, or the one who leaves, being left and the one who leaves, right? We're going to experience that here real quick. You know, it's funny because today, so I think of Paul, I think of the emotional part that he's, that we don't read about. He just didn't go about to all those 20 years planting churches, staying with people, building disciples, leaders, and going, catch you later, I got to go. He's like, man, he developed relationships. That's what we've done. You know, we never know what our emotions are going to do to us until you're in the throes of it, right? Today, I got a call from my son. He's leaving Boston on Tuesday. It's going to take 5 days for them to drive across country from one coastland to the other. And he's saying, man, Pop, I don't know. Did I do the right thing? I said, well, you'll find out. But we do know this. You got to do the next thing before you find out what the right thing is. As soon as I got off the phone with him, the phone rings again, and it's Danny. Bro, I just need to talk to you. Really, I didn't think I was going to go through this, but man, it hit me. This is my last weekend in a house that I've spent 18 years of my life in. Did I do the right thing? Good thing I already was filled with wisdom to say, you got to do the next thing, Danny. But we don't really know, as we see Paul, he goes through this time. And I'm sure, like Paul, for Danny and my son, reality has hit them that they have to leave behind things that they're all too familiar with. Many of you have gone through that. You know what that's like. But I know this, both Danny and my son, each knowing the Lord is moving them behind the scenes, but it's still not without the emotions that come with it. And I know that there are many of you in here today who can attest to that. Your lives are the examples of that, except for Roy. He's been in the same house for 400 years.
Four and a half.
But when you have to make that change, I'm sure it's exciting for, well, I know Jennifer and Ralph can't wait to get out of here, but I know for Justin and Janet, it's exciting, it's a new part of their life, but some of it has to be scary because here we go again. But they're used to it. They're military people. And so for those of us maybe who haven't been through that, it can be tough sometimes. And Paul is dealing with this. And you know he is because the people are. It tells us when he says, you will see my face no more. Skipping down to verse 37, why do I say that? It tells us, then they all wept freely, and they fell upon Paul's neck, and they kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship. They cried for him, and I'm certain that he felt the pangs of having to say goodbye as well. Yesterday, when Linda and I were taking Lauren to the airport, it was sad because we had such a blast with her. You know, she restored my hope in teenagers.
That is hard to do.
It was, but she did it. And her visit had a very sobering effect on me, or I should say her departure. And life is kind of weird that way, or maybe I'm just weird. But you get so excited for their arrival, and then you have to deal with a departure, right? Those 16 days she was here were like the blink of an eye. But it's just like when Linda and I joined the fellowship 5.5 years ago. Met some wonderful folks. Labor alongside them, and then now that season ends. And it's sad. None of us here at Fort Hill would have even imagined that our time together would be interrupted by someone's departure. We always thought everybody, when you go to heaven, we can't hold you back. But it's sobering to know that we, even in this, we can't hold you back. Like Paul, we tried, and we had to finally say, God's will be done. But here we are, for Ralph and Jennifer and Justin and Janet. And like Paul, I pray, verse 35, going back up to that. Paul says, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. See, the key is the blessing comes in giving and not getting. That's how you get blessed, in giving. It reminds me of the story that early one morning years ago, an American serviceman was making his way back to the barracks in London. He saw a little boy with his nose pressed to the window of a bakery, staring in silence. The serviceman's heart went out to the little boy, probably an orphan. He says, son, would you like some of those? Oh, yeah, I would. The serviceman stepped inside and bought a dozen donuts. He took the bag outside to the boy and he said, here you are. As he turned to walk away, he felt a tug on his coat and he heard the child ask quietly, mister, are you God? Think about that little boy. He was just looking for one donut, but he gets this bag that's got 12 of them in there. That's heaven. When we give, we act as God does. John 3:16 tells us that, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. As God's people, we should be givers, not only at Christmas season, but as a way of life. We are to be his example here on earth. And that's what Paul was. Jennifer, it has been an honor to serve with you and alongside you, both on the worship team and at the school. You and Ralph have touched the lives of many kids who otherwise would have been deemed rejects or maybe by some irredeemable. And you literally have brought life into those kids' hearts. Mary was a part of that. She was there watching those kids. Ruthie as well.
And I missed it
when I stopped. Yes. But it watched you stand firm in adversity. And it never was without notice. I saw it. I said, there is the female Al right there. But you know what? You've touched mine and Linda's life in a way that you're never going to know, because it's just been amazing. Justin and Janet, we all have had the blessing of your fellowship, your love, and your service. I was blessed to serve with you and to help lead you and to pour into your lives since the day we first met. And we have watched Janet grow into an amazing student of the Word. It's been so awesome. You shocked the masses last week when you prayed. I think it is. I think everybody was opening one eye. Is that really her? This is coming from a woman who, for the first 4 years, I never heard her say a word. And then all of a sudden, man, the heavens opened up. And we all got blessed by her. But Justin, from the very first day that we met, you've had my undying respect as a man of character and a total servant. And you know, you often make the comment, I don't know why God blesses me so much. I'm not worthy. And it's because of these words. It's more blessed to give than to receive. You got blessed because you gave. And sir, you have given an abundance of your time, your treasure and talents beyond anything I can even imagine. And God blesses you because you are a giver. I know how you miss the days of you and Roy and Lee meeting on Thursday mornings to fellowship together. You guys thought you called it cleaning up, but You were really fellowshipping with each other because you were dying for it. And you've been that example of what you've learned from the Word of God and how to serve without recognition. And from all the Saturday breakfast to the Friday ones at your home to grief share meals, as well as the Saturday night meals that you have provided here, it is the reason why God has blessed you, sir. You've led your family in Sheridan as an example to all of us serving the Lord. And for both families, never for one minute think that your time here was in vain. You have blessed each and every one in this room in one way or another. And later on, they'll get to share with you. I'm going to open that up. We're going to share just how much you mean to us. And God brought you here for this season of each and every one of our lives. And it has made them better. And like Paul, when he was going from place to place, he had so many disciples that's why you and I are here today, because of what the Apostle Paul did, reaching out to the Gentiles. Unless you're a Jew, he reached out to you too. This is the reason why. Think about where he is in the annals of time. It was his work that caused us to be here today. And it is your work, your lives, everyone in here, as we join together, helping and serving and being there for one another, it is what Jesus said. The world will know your mind by the love that you have for one another. And I need to close these verses because I'm not going to last if I don't. But verse 36, it says, "And when he had said these things, he knelt down and he prayed with them all. And then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship." Paul loved these folks. And I want to tell you how proud of you guys I am to watch you come out from what you did. You folks are going to be a blessing to the people there in Idaho with whomever you folks hook up with. And I pray even now that God has those people lined up, because they are going to get blessed and you're going to get blessed as well. So I have a special time of worship for us. It's familiar to you. It's rough and it's unpolished. And no one knows I have it. But it's true worship. And when our time after, when we end, well, what I want to say is we're going to end our time with you the way it began. You'll know the lyrics, I'm sure, to the songs. I didn't make up any song sheets, so I pray that it ministers to you. As I said before, this is pretty unpolished, it's uncut. It's designed for you to sing to cover up the errors and the mistakes. But when I found this on my computer, I cried and I said, "Wow." Let it minister to you as it did me. Don't deserve. It's the opposite of